Many of us are staying up a lot later than we'd like to, or a lot later than we normally do at the moment, as we devour the World Cup action that is ongoing. And we're getting close to the quarterfinals. The final 16 will be decided and kick off on the 9th of December. We know that this afternoon, Morocco is playing Spain, and then Portugal is playing Switzerland. And then that's it for the first round stages. And we go into the knockouts and the final 16, as I mentioned, and we're joined on the line for some analysis now by sports editor at the Daily Maverick, Craig Ray. Craig, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. So let's look at what's happened so far and what have been some of the upsets and some of the highlights in your opinion, Craig.
Well, obviously the upsets are the big ones in the group stage. Saudi Arabia's victory over Argentina and Japan's wins over Germany and Spain are probably the two standout victories there. And yeah, France also lost to Tunisia, but that result was academic for the French. They had already qualified. The Saudi Arabia one really shook the world. But I think, you know, as the dust has settled, the elimination of Germany from the first round was a particularly big upset. And I think Belgium also not making it through with their so-called golden generation of players that are really coming to the end now. You probably won't see Eden Hazard or Romelu Lukaku at another World Cup. So I think Belgium's chance of World Cup glory sort of faded with that bunch of players, with their rather limp exit from the World Cup. But it's, you know, now we're into the knockout stages. We've had some great knockout games already in the round of 16 in the quarterfinals. You know, we're nearly there. I think we've got to get two more sides tonight, and then we'll have the last eight by the end of this evening. And it goes pretty quickly, doesn't it? There's four games a day for 2 weeks, and suddenly we are more than halfway through the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I read today that there are only 10 games left, and one of them is the third place decider, which is kind of naff. So there's really not much action left for us.
Yeah, I mean, that's the nature of these things. There's 64 games in total, and yeah, they pile on, and you can't get enough of it, and suddenly it narrows down to the field. But I suppose the games get more intense now. Yeah, Brazil were fantastic last night, weren't they, against South Korea? I mean, in the first half particularly.
Stunning Croatia, match.
Yeah, I mean, the Brazilians just play such beautiful football. In Croatia, getting through against Japan on penalties, Croatia just somehow find a way. They haven't been particularly impressive in the tournament, but there they are in the last eight. Yet again, they were the finalists, of course, in 2018 and the semi-finalists in 1998. The big one, of course, coming up at the weekend, I think France-England in the quarterfinal is going to be massive.
That is. It's going to be a huge clash. Who's your money on, Craig?
No, I can't say. I mean, it's so difficult because they both got excellent sides. The French look good, but so do the English. So what I do hope is that both sides just play like they have been playing, because often what happens in these knockout games, they tend to go into their shell a little bit. They start to play a bit more defensively and, you know, risk-averse football rather than the nice, attractive attacking football that got them there. So I hope both those sides just stay true to their DNA that we've seen at this World Cup, because there's so many great attacking players on the field. If you think of Kylian Mbappe and Olivier Giroud and Antoine Griezmann for France and England's Jude Bellingham and Phil Foden and Harry Kane. So, you know, it's really a game set up for goals, and let's hope we get some.
Craig, when we look at Brazil's performance, do you think they're playing with an added amount of passion because they've decided to dedicate their tournament to Pelé?
I don't know for a fact. The thing with the Brazilians is they are always the favourites at every World Cup, aren't they? I mean, they go in and everyone expects Brazilian football. When you look at the technical skills of the players, the vision, and the way their coach Tite has got them going, they're going to be hard to beat. But, you know, and there was a lot of talk that their defence hasn't really been tested. Well, you know, they've only conceded one goal that really matters at this World Cup. They did lose their third group game when they were already through, when they played most of the second stringers. I'm sure if they win it, yeah, they seem to be dedicating it to Pelé last night. But I think this generation of players has waited, you know, the country of Brazil has waited 20 years for a World Cup, which in their eyes is far too long. So I think really it's about the current crop.
Craig, I read earlier today that people are still flooding in from Morocco hoping to catch that game, even though, you know, there isn't a ticket for love or money. But of course, they are the last hope for Africa and Arab nations. Do they stand any chance against Spain?
Yeah, I think they do. They have a fantastic side, Morocco. They're very technically sound. They play a nice brand of football. Spain, of course, are fantastic. We know that. They've got the pedigree. A lot of their players out of La Liga, a couple from England. They've got the players. They've got the technical skills. They play the game. But they can be frustrated with their short passing game if a team can frustrate them long enough. We've seen Spain lose games in the past, games that matter. When they get frustrated and they can't break a good defense down. So I think Morocco are going to have to defend like they've never defended before, because you can expect, I mean, Japan beat Spain in that game with 17% possession, which was the lowest percentage of possession ever to win a game at a World Cup since they started keeping these records. And I think Morocco can expect to operate at about 25 to 30% possession if they're lucky in the game. So it's about staying in formation. It's about their defense staying tight and connected. And then it's about finding a way to score on the break, perhaps, against Spain. But it can be done.
And then, Craig, I know we got you on this afternoon to talk to us about the Football World Cup, but I must just ask, what is your take on Eddie Jones' departure from the English rugby team? I mean, we're 9 months away from a World Cup. Where does that leave England? It wasn't entirely unsurprising, but still.
Yeah, I think it's a strange decision, actually, by the RFU in England, because, yes, I know they've struggled this year. They only won 5 out of 13 matches with 7 losses and a draw. So on that front, the results weren't good. But overall, Eddie Jones has won 74% of his test matches as coach, and that's the best record by any England coach ever. They've won the Six Nations 3 times and I think the Grand Slam twice under him. And they got to a World Cup final in 2019. You know, this guy knows what he's doing as a coach. I understand the graph was heading downwards if you look at this year's results in isolation. But, you know, this is a man who succeeded at a World Cup. He took Australia to the final. He took England to the final. He was part of the Springbok setup that won the final in 2007. And he masterminded Japan's victory over the Springboks in 2015. He knows how to operate a team at a World Cup. And I think England have missed a trick here. And I can tell you, I've spoken to a few rugby people today. There's not one coach I've spoken to that is unhappy that they won't have to face an Eddie Jones team at the World Cup. So that says all you need to know.
Telling.
I think England have really missed a trick there. Richard Cockerell's an interim coach. They're going to get Steve Borthwick in. They're pursuing Scott Robertson, the Crusaders coach out of New Zealand. I think that might be their long-term option. But as you pointed out in your intro there, 9 months to a World Cup. They got a full Six Nations campaign to maybe change things up a little bit, and then there's not a lot of time. So, I, for one, am not unhappy as a South African because I think this weakens England
weakens
a little bit.
Weakens the English side, yeah, absolutely.
Totally.
Craig, as always, thank you so much for being so generous with your time this afternoon. That's Daily Mavericks sports editor Craig Ray, just giving us an update on the Football World Cup as well as Eddie Jones' departure as the England rugby coach.